Hello, everybody out there. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we are so glad you are joining us now live. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. So glad you could join us today. Nan Watson is right here in the studio with me today.
Right.
And Carol Wichert will be calling in just a little bit from Georgia. Nan, we have had a busy day, and some of you out there probably have too. You probably had church or whatever, or going out to eat. Our Sundays are jam-packed from early morning until after the show every Sunday. But it's such a joy. We look forward to coming on the radio every Sunday afternoon live, don't we?
Absolutely. It is one of the highlights of my week is being able to get on and to be perhaps a tool that God uses to minister through you, through I, through Carol, to reach out to people who are hurting.
Absolutely. And this show is just about real living, you know, what it means to live the Christian life. Some of our listeners may not even be quote-unquote Christians, but maybe they're seeking a relationship with the Lord, and we hope that these shows really help you understand what that means and how to walk with God on a daily basis. I tell you, Nan, this is the first Sunday of the month, first Sunday of December of 2013, and we always go to the nursing home and have a service the first Sunday of every month, and we just came from there. So we raced in here, and you're still eating lunch.
But it's mighty good.
But it's mighty good. That's all right. We kind of are on a quick time thing. Yeah, on the Sunday that we do the nursing home. But what a joy today at the nursing home. I say this probably every time, but it's so true. They never cease to bless me. These residents. One of our ladies there is 105.
Was that the one that's hard of hearing?
Yes.
She's 105?
Mary, she's 105.
She looks great.
Doesn't she look great?
Oh, my gosh.
And what amazes me is the way they all know these songs.
Right.
Because we purposely do old songs, Sunday school songs, songs that I grew up with and you grew up with in Sunday school and Carol grew up with, things that they're familiar with, and some of the, like Amazing Grace. Mm-hmm. One lady started singing that,
before
we were even doing it. She just started in. We were doing Oh How I Love Jesus, and Nathan was doing the verse to that, and she just sang with him. It was a duet. It wasn't it a joy?
It was good. It was so neat to see her, you know, doing that, and you could see the expression on her face, you know, and she really knows what it's all about. Her mind is all there, and she knows exactly
how precious it is to worship God and sing. And they were clapping their hands and raising their hands.
I got to tell you something kind of interesting.
Go ahead.
I was going to tell you.
I forgot to tell you.
That one lady, I don't know her name, the lady who's the director, the activities director of this, and her and I, we were doing this eye contact thing across the room and kind of smiling. That lady was sitting there trying to pick a fight with the lady beside her.
I did see
You did see it. Well, then later she was trying to pick a fight with someone across the circle. And when Becky and I were just looking at each other kind of like, okay.
You know, okay.
Becky's making like motions like fight, you know.
I know.
I don't know what that was about. Yeah. She was very troubled. You know, it's interesting.
I just thought
about something. She was troubled today.
Yeah.
Yet she came to church.
She did.
How many people.
A good point.
Who are troubled in whatever area of their life.
Right.
Well, I just feel too bad I'm not going to church. And take that attitude. You know, we could probably all learn from the example she set.
Absolutely.
I don't know what was going on with her. She seemed a little bit different this
agitated morning.
There was something going on, and she's not normally like that. But yet she still came to church.
Praise God.
Because if she doesn't want to come, they don't make them come.
No.
They come if they want to come.
Right.
You know?
But the room was full. You know, people just, they were praising God and they were singing. And yes, that was going on. Good lesson for some of us out here in Radio Land that have a hard time maybe sometimes making time for our relationship with the Lord. Maybe it's harder to sit down and read your Bible or turn off TVs or everything else and spend time talking to God and listening to God. Good point there, Nan.
You know, it's interesting. Also, you know the lady we spoke to on the bench outside?
Yes.
Did you see that she had come by the window and was looking
in? I did.
And did you hear the conversation her and I had outside afterwards?
No.
I said, you know those songs? And she said, yes, I did. She goes, I wanted to come in and join you. I want to come
and
sit down.
She was a relative of one. She was one of the patients.
I'm like, come in anytime.
Anytime.
I had a seat. I'd get, you know, a lot of times we don't take seats. You know, we just don't sit down, you know.
Not
but I happened
chairs.
To sit down, you know. And I said, if I'm in a chair, you can have my seat.
Oh, that's great.
If we're wherever here and you're here, just praise come on God. In, you know.
And all it is a ministry of singing praises to God and talking about Him and the relationship that we can have with Him. That's what this show is all about. We're in our seventh year here on Tantalk Network, and we're so blessed to be here every single week, faithfully giving the word of God, regardless of how we feel or what's going on in our lives. It's a joy to be able to communicate and talk about Jesus, the love of our life, you know, the relationship that we have with the Lord is such a blessing. And I'm so excited about this show. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, find it. It's just a joy to be able to teach the word. There's nothing I would rather be doing, Nan, than doing this and just teaching God's word and helping somebody, even if it's just one person out there, develop their relationship with God in a deeper way. That's why we're here. Would you start with prayer?
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that we woke up. Some people didn't today, Father. Lord, just help us to difficulties that we're facing, Father, help us to realize they're in your hands. Help us to release them to you, for you to move through those situations, God. And you do work all things together for our good.
Amen.
Father, I pray that your anointing will be very strong on this time now.
Yes.
People listening to it now live or later on the website, Father, that it would just minister, that even just one little nugget in the whole midst of the thing would minister to each one of them, and we would praise your name for it. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Praise God. Listen to this song by Matthew West, one of our favorite artists. This song is called The Heart of Christmas.
I'm gonna make a wish this Christmas. I'm gonna say a little prayer. I'm gonna stop here for a moment before the moment disappears. The world's in a hurry this December. The city streets and shopping malls. I wish we could slow down and remember the meaning of it all. Wherever you are, no matter
the moment and the ones that you love, make sure they know it wherever you are.
the heart of Christmas is Jesus. He is the reason for this season. And we've all heard that phrase so many times through the years. But come back to the heart of Christmas. Come to Jesus. We're going to talk about him. Today we're in Luke chapter 1, and we're going to talk about some events just a few months prior to the birth of Jesus. So let's go to Luke 1. And there is a story there about a priest. The priest's name was Zechariah. He was married to a woman named Elizabeth. Elizabeth was actually not just Zechariah, was he a priest and came from a line of priests, but so did Elizabeth, his wife. She came from the line of Aaron, who was the high priest, the first high priest, the brother of Moses. And Zechariah in Luke 1, down in about verse 5, we see that Zechariah and his wife, Elizabeth, they had lived honorably before God, it says, and they were careful to keep the ways and the commands of the Lord. And they had a clear conscience before God. These were good people. They were religious people. They were doing everything they knew to do to obey God. And even though they had lived good lives before the Lord, they were never able to have children. And it was a matter of a pain for them. It was emotionally painful that they had not been able to have children. And it said that Elizabeth had never been able to conceive. And now she was quite old. And we see here that they had been asking God for a long time for a child. Now, she's so old and she's not able to conceive. I think that she had gone past the years of childbearing, Nan, is what I believe. I think because, you know, it said that they had been asking God. It was not something that was a one-time deal, you know, that, okay, God, please give us a child. But this was an ongoing process for this couple for a long time. I think they were in a lot of emotional pain over it. That's my opinion.
I can imagine that probably would be. I mean, I have a son.
Right.
I have a child. You have children.
Right.
Some women, that's their greatest desire is
right.
to have
some
a child.
Women. Some know, women, some it's women, not.
I mean, personally, I really didn't have any burning desire. But
you did not?
I did
okay.
not, no. But, you know.
I did.
Okay.
I wanted 5 or 6.
Oh, I really didn't want any. I'm joking. I
got
love
3
my son
and a
much.
Whole lot of grandkids and great-grandkids.
Okay. Well, I have just one son.
There you go. That's all right.
But
you can appreciate the pain of
Absolutely.
Somebody who was wanting children
something.
And can't.
Well, and continuing to ask God.
Yes.
You know, is it okay for us to continue to ask God our prayer requests?
Absolutely, it is. Huh? Absolutely. And didn't we just teach on that recently at Bible study about God is fine with you just being persistent and being consistent with your asking? I believe Zechariah and Elizabeth were like that. I think they had asked God over and over and over for a child and didn't understand why they had not been able to conceive. And I think there's probably a lot of people in our radio audience that have asked God for things that haven't happened yet. And they maybe have the question, why? Why not?
And during this period, it's such a testing of our faith.
Oh, isn't it? Oh,
you know, are we going to, you know, how did they respond? I mean, what did they do? Did they keep asking? They kept asking for some time.
I think they gave up for a period of time.
Right.
I do believe from the way this reads that, you know, after they realized that Elizabeth was no longer of childbearing age, I think that prayer just, it was gone. It was behind. But interestingly, where was it with God? Had God forgotten?
Oh, no, God hadn't forgotten. He was still...
Okay, so he remembered that they had prayed this for years, that they wanted a child, right?
Right.
I mean, it's not like he forgets our prayers. That's the point I want to make. Because I think, Nan, a lot of people think that when we ask God and nothing happens right away, we are such an instant society. I mean, look at our texting and our phones that do everything for us, including open our house doors and everything else.
I've been seeing that on the news.
They do everything there is for us. Our email, everything's on our little tiny phone that we carry around. You know, I mean, we are a people of instant answers. We want an answer. If somebody, and I'll tell you this personally, and I realized this about myself this week, because being a realtor too, I'll text somebody something important, like, can I show your this house or this listing at such and such time? If I don't hear back from them in a few minutes or an hour, I'm like, what's wrong with them?
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not like I'm patient. I think a lot of us are just like, wait a minute. Boom, well, why didn't they answer my text? Or why didn't they answer my, you know?
Right.
I think it's human nature, especially in the day and age we live in now, to expect answers right away.
Why aren't we stressed out?
Are we stressed out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we are. And a lot of that is because we're juggling a whole lot of balls
right.
in our lives. We're doing this, and we got to, oh, yeah, I got to remember to do that. Got to do that, blah, blah, blah. Well, I think Zachariah and Elizabeth got to a point they thought, oh, well, God, you know, where'd you go, God? You didn't answer our prayer. Now Elizabeth is past menopause. She can't have any children. Why, God, didn't you answer? I don't know if they called out to God like that, or did they just drop it? Did they just leave it? Maybe they did. You know, because here it happens now. They were quite old. It says, I'm in verse 8 of Luke 1. It so happened that as Zechariah was carrying out his priestly duties before God, working the shift assigned to his regiment, it came his one turn in life. I love that phrase in the Message Bible. To enter the sanctuary of God and burn incense. The congregation was gathered and praying outside the temple at the hour of the incense offering. Now, interesting, because he was in a priestly order that they, you know, at one point in his life, he was going to be the guy, the priest that went in and burnt incense before the Lord. And, you know, so this was like a one-time shot. It was just this one time in his life. It was a very special moment. I would imagine he was geared up emotionally for, wow, this is my time. It's here. It's finally here. You know, he'd waited all his life for his turn to be in the holy place there. Well, go ahead.
Something I just thought of, I want to kind of throw in there and not to deter, not to derail here. But we're not sure whether they just let it drop with God or whether they kept asking for God.
We don't know.
Either
for
way,
sure.
it really doesn't matter because
right.
it's interesting with his life. He moved forward
right.
in what God had him to do.
That's a good point.
Which was to do his priestly duties at that one time he's
right.
assigned to do it in all of his life.
He didn't give up and walk away from God, did he?
No,
good
he didn't.
Point.
He kept on and did what he was supposed to do.
Right.
That can stand as a witness to many of us.
I like that point. That's making the word come alive in our practical circumstances. How many times, Dan, do we as... You know, Christians, we ask God for something and then we think, well, he must not have wanted to do that. And we just let it drop and we just go on. And yet sometimes I think a little corner of bitterness or anger is in our heart where we're mad at God because he didn't hear or we think he didn't hear or we don't understand why he didn't answer. And that takes root in there, that little anger, that bitterness. I've seen it for years in the ministry, resentments towards God. I can't tell you the number of times I've ministered to people that need to forgive God for not moving at the timely thing that they thought he should, the pace that they thought he should, you know? So this is a good point. Zechariah did go and do this, didn't he?
Yes.
He's in there. He's in the sanctuary. The people are outside waiting on him to come out. He's in there burning incense, doing the things that need to be done in there as a priest. And suddenly, and here we are in about verse 12, unannounced, an angel of God appeared just to the right of the altar of incense. Now, that is not something that was customary. The angels, we have visitations from angels recorded in the Word of God, but there's not that many of them. You can count them probably on two hands. Mm-hmm. I mean, Daniel, there's different ones back
right.
through the Old Testament. But here we've got a couple right here, right away. Mary and Zechariah both had visits from the angels. Now, this angel is the same one that comes to Mary a few months later. It's Gabriel, you know, Angel Gabriel. And he comes and he's sitting there. Now, what do you think Zechariah's immediate thought was then? I mean, this had to be a kind of a wild, weird, surreal moment, don't you think?
Yes. If I recall correctly, and please correct me if I'm wrong, when the priest would go in there, they would have a rope tied to their leg.
That's true.
Because if they were sinful, unclean, whatever, they'd get struck down then. They'd have to pull them back out because people weren't allowed just to go in there. You
right.
and I just couldn't
this
go
into
that.
The holy place.
The holy
yes.
place. Can you imagine here is someone, we don't know for sure what he looked like. We have ideas. But there is someone there where someone's don't go.
Right. And that someone is bright and shining,
right.
don't you think? Angels have, no, you know, in the New Testament, they appear very bright and
I'd freak.
He was. It's you would freak?
I'd freak.
It says right here in the last line of verse 12 of Luke 1, unannounced, an angel of God appeared just to the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was paralyzed in fear. So you would have done the same thing Zechariah did, right? Be paralyzed in fear. That's the end of verse 12.
Yes.
I mean, there he was. He was like, whoa, you know. Now, whether or not we would have been just like Zechariah, I don't know. But this is how he responded. He responded in fear. Now, we know 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Okay? We know that all through the Word, we are told the most frequent command in the Word of God is fear not. Okay? Fear not. Yet, we see Zechariah, a priest of God, in this very important moment in his life, kind of the high place of his priestly life, sees an angel and he freaks. So human. So like a lot of us, right?
His humanity was able to show.
It definitely showed through. Okay. But what does the angel say? I love this. The angel reassures him. I'm in verse 13 of Luke 1. And he says, don't fear, Zechariah. Now, there again, here's God with his most frequent command in the whole Word of God. And he says, don't fear. Now, maybe you haven't seen an angel or anything like this has happened to you. But I'll tell you what, there's not already a day that goes by, Nan, that we aren't faced with times where we can feel fear and react in fear. Wouldn't you agree?
Most definitely.
I mean, no, maybe you haven't seen an angel today. But I'll tell you, there's probably something's happened in your life where a twinge of fear tries to creep in, right?
Yes.
Maybe bad news, or maybe something happened in your body and you feel like weird. Oh, am I getting sick? Or, you know, the fear, or what's going to happen tomorrow at work, or on and on and on. Go on.
What happened to me this morning after service? You remember what happened?
No.
I went to hug, maybe you didn't realize, I went to hug somebody.
No.
And something happened with my shoulder.
Oh, that's
right.
And
I wasn't able to hug him.
Right.
And then one of the other ladies came over, grabbed on my shoulder, and she goes, I can feel the joint. And it was really, really
weird. It kind of popped out.
Yeah, it kind of popped. And that's never, normally doesn't go around happening, you know? And it was like this slight of, oh, no, how's this going to affect me? What's going to happen? I can't have this like this.
Yeah.
You know, and then you, of course, said, declare, we pray. And then someone came over and prayed, and it went away.
It went away.
But I mean, it wasn't.
And you're
just
fine right now.
Yeah, it wasn't just a passing thing. I mean, there was definitely something had happened there.
Right.
You know? But isn't that just the way Satan tries to have things work?
Absolutely.
On the heels of a great service like we had this morning.
Right.
Anyway.
And then here you are faced with a challenge where fear can multiply and grow. I love what David says in the Psalms. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, then I will start praising God. You know, I love that verse in Psalms. I forget what verse it is, but when my anxious thoughts start multiplying within me, because we're human, our anxious thoughts will multiply within us. It doesn't say if I ever have an anxious moment. You know, don't take condemnation out there if you have things happen to you, maybe even something that God has said to you and you're like, whoa, really? Oh, is that God? And you're afraid. You know, here Zechariah had a visit from the angel Gabriel.
How cool.
And it produced fear. But we're going to find out next week that in Mary, when Gabriel came to visit Mary, she wasn't afraid, which is interesting. So you have Zechariah here, which is typical of a lot of us, that when God shows up and shows up big in some way, answers a prayer or visits us in some way, And it's not customary to see angels. That's not what this show's about. But it is customary for God to invade our space in some unusual way. Sometimes he uses a friend, a neighbor. Sometimes he uses a scripture that just hits us. Sometimes he uses a sermon. Sometimes he uses prayer. Somebody prays over you. Whatever the case may be, God does want to invade our space.
There was a book, I don't have it now, but entitled Glorious Intruder by Eric Dottison.
Glorious Intruder. Joni Erickson?
Yes.
You know who she is?
Yes.
She's the one that was paralyzed, clear back, I don't know, when
back
I was in high school. Yeah, I think way back.
Way back, yeah.
She was paralyzed, and all she can do is, she paints with her
Yes.
With a tooth, or not a toothbrush, a paintbrush in her mouth or on her toes, right?
Yeah, she's good. She used to do a radio show too, I think, for a
did
while.
Did she?
Yeah, she
I used think
to do,
she did.
Yeah. Carol's on the line.
Is she on? Okay, Carol's thanks, on. Cedric. Joni Erickson, Nan's just bringing her up, Carol. Thanks for joining us, Carol. Hang on a minute. Let's let Nan finish this thought and then we'll talk to you.
Well, no, I'm just thinking that it was filled with stories based on true stories,
right,
of a glorious intruder. You're using the
yes.
intruder term, and that's
right.
what made me think of that glorious intruder. That the times that he moves in our lives, and like he's not intrusive, but in a way to say, and just intrude,
he disrupts
right in the middle
our normal flow of activity,
you know?
Right?
And when he does that,
woo!
Because I know he's done that with you, and he's I know he's
yeah.
done it with me, and it's
yeah.
just so awesome when he does that.
Well, he's doing it for a reason. He's trying to get our attention. Carol,
right.
are you there? Are you hearing this? Glorious intruder. And that's what Gabriel
it.
Was for Zachariah, a glorious intruder in his life.
Hi, Carol.
How you doing, Nan? It's nice to see both of you and hear both of you.
There it's nice
are.
To hear you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Glorious intruder. My goodness. How many times I've had the glorious intruder speak to me.
Right.
Show me and teach me.
Yeah.
You have to be receptive.
That's the whole key, though. Right?
That's the key. Otherwise, you don't recognize the voice that is speaking to you in your head and your heart and your soul. If you don't know and need to expect the glorious intruder, you wouldn't have a clue who it was.
Right. But, Carol, I believe that God is wanting to do drastic things right now in this day and age in which we live. I felt it strongly this morning before service. God is trying to get people's attention. And so he is wanting to invade our space. And I love that term, glorious intruder, because that's what happened here to Zachariah, who had gone years childless, he and Elizabeth. Yet God decides to show up in such an interesting, almost flamboyant, I can't think of another word. I mean, really wild way did God show up here.
I agree that he did, you know, and sometimes it takes that to get our spiritual attention.
It does, Carol.
Because we can lay it off to 101 different things, coincidence being one, or circumstance. And then there are people who say, well, there's no such thing as circumstance, but somehow it does appear in conversations.
Right.
But when God is present, I think those of us that know and appreciate and love relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, we're almost astounded that he would, quote, come to us.
Right. Yes.
Why me? Why would you ask me to do this? Why would you ask me? Why would you shelter me? Why would you protect me? Why would you teach me?
And he does so through just ordinary things sometimes. Like, you know, I don't know if you heard at the beginning of the show, Nan and I were so blessed at the nursing home today that, you know, one of our ladies is 105. And then there was this other lady that was singing every word to the songs. And you know, it just grabbed my heart today. Here's somebody who's walked with the Lord for years, long, long time, remembers every word to these songs. And it just made me realize the importance of faith in our lives, you know. So God can get our attention in a lot of different ways, can't he?
Yes, he can. And he does what he can for his people.
Right.
If they allow him. You know, sometimes we shut that faucet off.
Right, we do.
You know, it's the living water. The living word of Jesus Christ, and sometimes we're the one that walks up to the sink and turns off that faucet.
Yes, we do.
Because sometimes we don't want to know. You know, something like you said earlier, something has gone wrong. He didn't answer our prayer right when we thought he should. It's like you saying, you know, about people not answering the phone as quickly as you would like for them to.
Right.
Well, you know, sometimes we do that. We shut him off when we don't think, as human beings, that God is going in the direction we think he should. We put the Bible down. We walk away from it. We don't converse with our friends who could give us emotional and spiritual support. We just turn it off.
Right. Just walk away.
We don't want to hear it's not our way.
I really think Zachariah and Elizabeth had given up, Carol, on having a child, because we know that Elizabeth was past childbearing age. So there very well could have been a little bit of skepticism or bitterness down in there. And when an angel shows up and talks to Zachariah, maybe, I don't know, I'm just assuming, I mean, the angel said, don't be afraid, but he was afraid. And instead of just reaching out in faith and going, wow, what's God going to do? What's God going to do? Zechariah's going like, you know, what's going on here? I mean, he did not have the response of a man who is waiting for patiently for God's answer to his need. He didn't have that. He had more of a human response that all of us might have had.
I don't think he was expecting to see an angel. Like Nan said, you know, if you've kind of put your hopes aside and thought, well, I'm whatever the reason, like Elizabeth and Zechariah thought they were too old.
Right.
So they kind of, like you say, probably just missed the idea of it ever happening and kind of resigned themselves to the fact that they would be childless for their whole life.
Right.
Then all of a sudden he's in the temple for his one time.
One time.
One time.
That is no coinky dinky. You know that? That is not a coincidence. God's timing is perfect timing. And it was
never
all planned.
Late. Always on time.
Nan wants to comment.
It's interesting, you know, what we had already discussed, how he proceeded forward and did his duties that he was to do as a priest. God spoke to him through the angel in the midst of him being responsible for doing what he was supposed to do.
Right.
You know, he
was carrying out the duties.
Yeah. It was carried out that way, you know, and I just think it's pretty cool that
he was doing his thing. Right.
He received the word from the Lord while he was moving forward, doing what he was supposed to be doing for the Lord.
That's a good point, because so often people get stuck. They get stymied with the fact that the prayer has not been answered in the time that they wanted it, and they quit moving forward with God. You're right. Good point, Nan. Zechariah moved on. He went on, and here he was at that one zenith point, high point of his ministry as a priest, and he was still doing it, but he reacted out of fear. Mm-hmm. And disbelief, doubt, and unbelief. Carol talked to us about that. Some people do go through the motions. And that's, you know, we could say that about Zechariah. We don't know.
Well, they go through the motions, but sometimes they do it with no heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something they do by rote. But when you go through the motions, knowing that your prayer in your mind has not been answered, looks like it probably isn't going to be answered, but you decide in faith, I'm just going to do what God has asked me to do.
Yes.
Or what I can do that I feel I can serve God. And then the blessing comes at the end of it when you realize that your whole heart was in the event that you did.
Well, exactly. And I think this is an interesting point right here. Elizabeth, your wife, will bear a son by you. You are to name him John. Now, we know that means Jehovah shows favor, which is really cool. And you're going to leap like a gazelle for joy. Now, I think that's very interesting. Evidently, Zechariah was not a guy who went around leaping for joy like a deer, a gazelle. You know, in other words, this is something the angel has to tell him. Guy, you're not even going to believe what's about to happen. You are going to have a child by this woman who is barren and who is past the age of childbearing, and it's going to make you just plain rejoice and jump around like a gazelle. That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. You know, to think that God has found favor, and he did it because of their faithfulness.
Yes, yes.
You know, and God answers our prayers because of our faithfulness. You know, how many times have we spoken to people, oh, ye of little faith?
Yeah.
You know, God is in the improbable.
Right.
He's in the impossible.
Right, he is.
He's in the never can do in our world. We say, well, he can never do that. Oh, really? Well, that's why they call him God.
Right.
And that's why we have to fall in line with his way of thinking.
Absolutely.
We have to know that he is omnipowerful, omnipresent, always with us, has given us his favor. We are his chosen.
Well, and I love the fact, and I agree with you, it says right here in about verse 13, that when the angel says to Zechariah, don't fear, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Talk to me about that, Nan. Your prayer has been heard.
God heard it the first time.
He heard it the first time.
He heard it all the other times. When we're in situations where we continue to ask God for a specific need that we have, I think it helps to increase our faith.
It does.
In knowing
yes.
that, yes, he's heard me, But, you know, he answers to the cry of his people, you know,
right.
and just to be able to say, hey, you know, this is still what I'm, you know, needing,
right.
needing to have. And then he moves in his time, not our time. He moves
oh,
in
absolutely.
His time. You know, I have believed God for some things in my life within the last couple of years. And he has fulfilled
right.
one of those prayers
right.
that
right.
I had. And that was pretty cool. I just trusted. I just trust him. Take the word just out there.
Right.
I trusted him.
Right.
Sometimes it was more difficult than other times. But I trusted him and I saw him move and provide for me what I was needing to receive.
And doesn't it do you good, Carol and Nan, to know that God does hear our prayers? I mean, Psalm 18:6 is one of my favorite verses written by David, that he heard my cry and my cry before him came into his ears. I love Psalm 18:6. My cry came into his ears. So Carol, I mean, Zechariah had to be told, your prayers were heard. I mean, the angel had to tell him that. Because that makes me think he wasn't really thinking they had been.
Well, probably not. You know, sometimes we are in doubt and we put a fleece out. And then we end up in doubt, not knowing if it's been heard. And
right.
we think that it hasn't been heard.
Right. It's very human, don't you think, to be like Zechariah here. Well, I've been praying this thing for 20 years or 30 years, and nothing's ever changed. Nothing's happened. And I think that's where a lot of people, get so skeptical and get so cynical and get so disbelieving and full of doubt is because they haven't seen the prayers answered in their time, you know, the time that they think it should be.
We're a me, 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 now, now, now group of people.
We are.
And, you know, you were speaking earlier about the electronic age that we're in.
Right.
You know, I can remember, since I'm older than dirt, I can remember
you when are.
That electronic age.
Yeah.
If you had a message to get to somebody, you either sent a phone call, and chances are they weren't going to be there because, you know, they were working or doing whatever it is families did at that period of time. And then there was no electronic age that you could push a button or dial a cell phone. Those things were not even considered at that
no,
point.
No, wasn't it Pony Express back in your day there, Carol?
Yeah, it was. Actually, it was delivered by...
By horse and buggy?
Horse and buggy,
yeah.
You know, and the circuit rider came around.
Right, once. Yeah. You got the mail once every 6 months or something?
Yeah, and that way you didn't have to worry about bills or anything,
uh-huh.
you know.
Right.
You could just say, I'm sorry, I didn't receive it.
Right.
And
yeah.
now we can't say that. We can say, look, I got it just 10 minutes ago, and I haven't had time to consider it yet.
Right, exactly.
You know, our life has changed mm-hmm. in this world so drastically.
Right.
And in the process, sometimes our thought patterns don't change as quickly.
That's true.
We think about, well, I need 2 or 3 days to think about this. When someone may require an answer instantly, like you say. You know, you call somebody for business and they don't pick up. It's like you're being scorned. Well, they don't want me.
You know? Right.
But God isn't that way.
Right.
He doesn't scorn us and say, well, I'm not going to give them what they need. What he does say, without saying it, is give me time.
Right.
To work in you and
yes.
the lives of the other
yes.
people who may be involved. He wants to indwell us, but he wants us to be patient and believe in him to do whatever it is we've asked.
That's exactly right. And what happens is when we get impatient, we so often think God has not heard us. And so the angel says right here, God, your prayer has been heard. You know, and then the angel goes on and makes it very specific what the answer is. Your wife, Elizabeth. I mean, here we go. Your prayer has been heard. Elizabeth, your wife, will bear a son by you. And you are to name him John. Very specific. And you're going to leap like a gazelle for joy. And not only you, many will delight in his birth. He'll achieve great stature with God. In other words, the angel becomes very specific about the plan and the answer to prayer. And I find this interesting. Nan, we have seen God be very specific answers to us, have we not?
Almost
promises.
Yes, he has.
promises, answers. How do we handle that?
With great excitement.
Excitement. And then when it doesn't happen quickly, a lot of times.
We kind of go back. God, do you really hear what I'm saying? You know, don't you? Here's my prayer request. Why aren't you answering me? Sometimes we might even go along the lines of trying to question him.
Right.
Why aren't you answering now? There's been some things that in my life that if he would have answered them now for me as I had prayed them,
right,
it wouldn't be as wonderful as it is now because it was in his timing, not what I thought my timing was. My timing wasn't matching up with his, so I wasn't overly thrilled about that. But, you know, his timing is perfect.
Oh, Carol, we're going to talk about that after we listen to this Amy Grant song, Emmanuel, God with Us. I love this song.
We dim the light, we stoke the fire, we breathe the evergreen. Young ones wait while the old ones make up tales of how it used to be. China dolls, candy corn, painted wooden toys, treasures found to the wondrous sound of caroling the Savior born to us on Christmas morn.
Praise God. Emmanuel, God with us. That was prophesied in the book of Isaiah 700 or 800 years before Jesus came to this earth, that he would be Emmanuel, God with us. And that took 700 or 800 years from that prophecy, Carol. And God's timing so often is not our timing. And we get so impatient, don't we?
Very impatient. You know, we, as human beings, unfortunately, we feel like we have the answer to everything.
Right.
We don't even know the questions to ask, truthfully.
Right.
You get right down to it. The questions we should be asking are things like, God, how can I help you go into the world further with more people?
Amen. Right.
Can I teach people to be believers? How can I live so that people would emulate
Amen.
The spirit of you in me?
Right.
Instead of saying, look, I don't have money for Christmas. When are you going to deliver it?
Right.
Or, you know, I wanted a new bike and look what I got. I got nothing.
But you're right, Carol. So often our prayer is selfish, you know. But when you look at Zachariah and Elizabeth, I don't know that that's a selfish prayer there. I think they just want a child, you know.
I think wanting a child is not a selfish maneuver if you're
right.
with someone that you love. And
right. Exactly.
And you think it will complete your union and your family, I don't think it's ridiculous to ask for a child. Not that I personally ever wanted one, because I never did, but and still don't to this day. And since I'm over the age of having one, I jump up and down and say hallelujah. But I know that there are folks who don't do that, and they're troubled that they can't have a child. Well, you know, and that should give them hope that God does deliver what you want. It's just a matter of his timing. Sometimes we're not ready to accept the gift
that he would
give us.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we're not ready, and God sees the whole big picture, and we don't. Nan, talk about that before we talk about Zachariah's reaction here. Just the timing.
I mean,
it's going to be frustrating, can't it?
Yes.
You sound frustrated. Well, it can't be, right?
Well, the timing, I mean, I look back on my life, and it's like, at the time I was going through the stuff, it's like, why aren't you answering
right.
me, God?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And a lot of that had to do with my divorce and all the legal stuff relating to that divorce after the fact and all the false allegations and on and on and on and on. And on. Everything turned out fine. God knew everything was going to turn out fine, but
right.
at the time when I was going through most of it, there was one particular period of time that was real okay with it. God
right.
was in control. God was always in control. I really knew he was in control, and I believed that and saw that. But it's frustrating waiting for his
God comes through and says something so dramatic like he did to Zachariah here, you're going to be jumping around like a gazelle, you know? You're going to be so full of joy, and yet Zachariah doesn't feel like that. Our emotions have to take a back seat to the promises of God. I want you to talk about that, Carol, because so often our emotions are in the driver's seat. We're driven by doubt and worry and anxiety. And God, why haven't you answered my prayer in my time? And yet when God comes and promises here through an angel to Zachariah, it says here in verse 18 of Luke 1, Zechariah said to the angel, do you expect me to believe this? I'm an old man and my wife is an old woman. Here is Zechariah talking to God and saying, this can't be because look at our circumstances. Carol, talk to me about this. I think a lot of people do this very thing that Zechariah did.
When we're putting our fleece before God, and asking for things that we just feel are so important to us, they're life changers for us, and as we see it anyway, and these things would make us more happy, make us more productive, make us more able to be a human, whatever that would entail. Sometimes I think we need to stop and realize that this story alone speaks to the faithfulness of God, and it speaks to the
yes.
faithfulness of God in his time.
Yes.
Bless us, to give us, to take care of us. He wishes no harm to any of us.
No.
But if, like Nan said, if he answers our prayer immediately when we put a fleece out there for it, and it answers immediately, we're going to sometimes be in deep trouble because we haven't thought the issue through all the way yet.
That's right.
He's thought it through. He knows how it's going to become. So this story should hold out faith to people that
right.
in God's time it will come. If these old people can have a child, then in God's time you can receive the blessing that you're asking for.
Well, and it's a matter of receiving the promise and having the right attitude about it. Go ahead, Nan. and comment on that, because I think so often we get hung up on, well, this can't be. Look at my circumstances. And we almost like try to short circuit our blessing and our miracle by saying, how can this be? Look at my circumstances. That's what Zechariah did. I'm old. She's old. This can't be, you know, trying to negate the blessing of the promise. Go ahead.
Well, we make our requests known to God. One thing, and we've discussed it on the show before, I believe, is also in the midst of that, praise God for that
right
answer.
Before
we see it. Begin to just step out in faith, and your faith grows in the midst of why you're doing that, because you go, okay, God, I believe you. I mean, and right. I've done that. I mean, I personally know what that's like
me
to do
too.
That, because I've done that, and I've enlisted people even to praise with me.
Right.
Could I read a quick poem?
Yes, did you get a poem
well,
from
I
God?
Well, I got a poem. Now may be the right time to read
all
it.
All right, read it.
I don't see my answer yet, but I will still continue on. I know that through this time, I will learn much and grow strong. You see what I cannot see. You see the future of my life. Help me to always believe while you keep me from all strife. I don't know when you will move, but I will exercise my faith now. Thank you in advance for answering me. Through this time, I will gain much power.
Oh, that's profound. Did you hear all that, Carol?
I did. You know,
that's good.
I think we need to somehow learn to wait. It's
yes.
hard for humans to wait, because we live in such a society that rushes and pushes and surges forward in so many ways, and people move without even thinking sometimes. I mean, I think these last two or three days of Thanksgiving shopping have been wonderful illustrations of the me. I want it right this
oh,
minute.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
considering oh. other people, and people have been severely injured and even killed during this foray.
It's crazy.
Idiocy that runs around.
Right.
And very little thought seems to be given to be thankful.
Right.
Not just for the food we have, but for the experience of being able to maintain or receive a relationship for Christ and maintain it. It's not just him that has to keep everything going. We have to. We have to be thankful for the Holy Spirit indwelling us, for our faith and for our belief and knowledge. And we've got to constantly be thankful in reading scripture and speaking to people. And we tend to forget to do that. So when our blessing that we have asked for doesn't come in the next moment, we tend to throw it aside and throw
right.
it up and say, well, he doesn't like me. I can tell that.
Yeah.
And that isn't the case at all. You know, we need to be patient and, like Nan says, continue to pray. Put your blessings request out there and believe it and thank him for it before it comes.
Absolutely. And you're right about the shopping frenzy and all that stuff. And how many people took time on Thanksgiving to really give thanks? Or was it just eat a quick meal and run and go shop or whatever? Nothing wrong with shopping, but it's a matter of priorities in our lives. Do we take the time to get the mind of the Lord on a situation and develop the patience necessary sometimes to allow that answer to happen 10 years from now or 15 years from now or 25 years from now? I think that's one of the huge lessons right here in Luke 1. Zechariah is going, this can't be. Are you kidding me? I mean, really? I'm old. She's old. This can't be. You know? And so we see what the angel said in verse 19. The angel says, I'm Gabriel, the sentinel of God, sent especially to bring you this glad news. I bet Zechariah wasn't acting like this was glad news. He's being a skeptic. He's being full of doubt and fear. He's saying, I don't see how this could happen. Oh, are you kidding me? Do you not realize how old I am, how old she is? But because you won't believe me, here's what the angel says, you'll be unable to say a word until the day of your son's birth. Every word I've spoken to you will come true on time, God's time. It is so vital that we realize that when God makes a promise to us, he is going to keep it. He's not just a promise maker. He is a promise keeper. Talk to me about that, Carol, for a couple minutes. We're coming up on the hour. So
I can't remember a time when God has dismissed my request for prayers as not counting.
Okay.
He's been there even when I wasn't sure that he was. And
right.
You know, there have been times when I was younger that I just didn't know if God really did hear me. I mean, who was I that he would listen to me?
Right.
And having grown up in a home that was, my parents never took me to church.
Right.
It was difficult to maintain that presence of Christ. And yet, for some reason, I was the one of the two children who did that.
Right.
Right. And I've always asked myself why, and then I realized his hand was on me.
Yes.
He had something for me to do for him. And it took me a while to mature emotionally and physically and spiritually to be able to even begin to understand what it was.
Amen. Amen.
But let's do it. And then yet when I heard his voice in my, the Holy Spirit's voice in my ear one night, with the simple words, go and go now, I knew exactly what it meant. I didn't have to ponder it.
Right. So there are
times. It was a message. It was marching orders.
Right. And there are times in our lives when he speaks like that, and we know. There's times in our lives when, like here with Zachariah, he's just so skeptical, and he's full of why God, why that can't be, doubt and unbelief. Nan, isn't this common for people to go through doubt and unbelief?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, we can look around us and, you know, people that we know,
yeah,
they have doubt. And, you know, that's one thing that's great about being plugged into a church.
Yes.
I know I always put in plugs for the church.
No, so go ahead, because we're coming up on the hour. Go ahead and make a plug for that.
You know, Beacon of Hope Ministries is filled with people who really genuinely love each other and care for each other.
Right.
And as I have gone through maybe times of trusting God, believing God for a particular situation happen, they would encourage me, you know, and in that way, if there were moments of almost doubt, they would be there to encourage me. And so that's the body of Christ is great to have for that reason. So if anyone's not plugged into a church,
right,
they're perfectly welcome to come be part of the family.
Amen.
If they are in a church, we're not asking them to do that.
No.
We don't do that. But if someone's not affiliated with going to church, swing on by.
Come on by and hear the word of God. Sunday mornings at 10:30, worship service, Wednesday nights at 7. What happens on Wednesday night, Carol, around Beacon of Hope?
Wednesday night is prayer service where people's prayers are being brought out.
True.
Spoken verbally and prayed for individually. And then the Bible study begins, and it's just a carry through of a continuation of Sunday.
It is, usually.
A continuation of the prayers that that are being offered and the praise reports. You know, when there's a prayer, there's got to be a praise for it.
Right.
And
Amen.
When those come, we enjoy knowing those as well, because then we can sing songs of praise to God with great enthusiasm and jump around like the gazelle.
Absolutely. And, Carol, we encourage people to use our prayer line. You and Pastor Jim are the ones that receive those prayer requests that come in, and there's tons of them from different states every day. And prayers at bohmglobal.com. You never get tired of writing a prayer for these requests that we get in, do you, Carol?
I never tire of it. I just don't know. I mean, it just comes, you know, through me, through the Holy Spirit coming into me and answering the prayers, and my mouth simply and my hands being the ones that write it, or my mouth the ones that repeat it to people who call. You know, if we, if anybody is in doubt, and if there's things in their life they're struggling about, if they don't know what to do, if they will contact Prayers at Beacon of Hope Global, then that message will be sent to me, and then I will get the prayer out. I always pray about ones that come in, the request, because in my natural, I don't answer those. I wait for God to speak to me about that person.
Right, sure.
And give me the words to say. And we try to offer hope and encouragement and let people know you're not alone.
That's right.
Sometimes when life just hits you right in the face like a baseball bat, you feel like, I'm alone in this. Nobody else could be feeling this. And yet, the world is full of people who feel the same
thing. Amen. We encourage you to use our prayer line. It is used by countless numbers of people now. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. That stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. We shortened it because it was just easier. So for people to remember, prayers at bohmglobal.com. We encourage you to use the prayer line. Tell others about it. Let's do station ID. We'll be right back.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. Okay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right, listen. We're glad you're listening today to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I'm Pastor Marcia, along with Nan and Carol from our radio team. We have several people on our radio team that rotate with me on Sunday afternoons, and it's always a joy to be here live every Sunday at 3 o'clock. Tell somebody about the show and invite them to listen. It's a good way to acquaint them with the ministry at Beacon of Hope. Nan, we started Christmas season today, December 1, 2013, and so we're talking about Jesus. And I know that in my life, I don't know where I'd be without Jesus. I mean, it's all about you, Jesus, that song that we sing sometimes. Right. It's all about you, Jesus. And it is, don't you think? I mean, can you imagine going through a day without the ability to talk to him and realize he lives right there on the inside of you? Emmanuel, that's what it means. God with us, living on the inside of us.
I can't really imagine, because when I've gone through the most difficult struggles of my life, he was there with me.
He was there.
And he carried me.
Amen.
Many times he carried me, but he was there with me.
He's there.
To comfort me, you know. And I know there was times when I went off the beacon path.
Over the beacon path?
The beacon
or the
path,
beaten
not the
path.
The beaten path.
There you go.
The beaten path.
Beacon path, too.
But, you know, before I came to Beacon and
right.
Involved another church and things happened. And kind of went through this period of whatever, you know. You know, I just didn't have the strength, or I was not leaning to him for strength and guidance in dealing
right.
with situations.
Right.
I just didn't do it because I was angry at
right.
him.
Right. And yeah. I think a lot of people are like that. Or a lot of people, you said earlier this morning when you woke up this morning, you'd been sick during the night and you didn't feel like getting up and coming to church.
Right.
And, you know, we hear this all the time. People say, well, I just didn't feel good when I first woke up. Well, you know what? The devil doesn't want you coming to church and hearing the word of God. He doesn't want you fellowshipping. He doesn't want you getting stronger. He's going to do everything he can to make sure your symptoms are pretty bad at 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. Go ahead.
Well, you know, if a married couple, I can remember my husband and I would get in the worst arguments when on the way to
church.
Right.
Church
Sunday morning
people.
Before
right.
getting ready to go to church. I mean, that will be when the biggest heated stuff happens, and it's just Satan trying to keep you out of church.
And God wants you to be in the Word.
Right.
So we welcome you to Beacon of Hope Sunday mornings at 10:30. Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study. And Bible study is very interactive. Bring your Bible and a notebook and sit around the table with us and talk about God. Here we go. I love this song by Selah. O come, Emmanuel.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice.
This is announcing Emmanuel, God with us, who is, of course, Jesus. Interesting, Carol, that the angel was trying to get through to Zechariah that he was going to rejoice and everyone was going to rejoice over this birth of this baby John. And I don't think Zechariah had any idea at the point when the angel's talking to him that this it was going to be the forerunner of the Messiah that they had waited for, that they had, that the Jewish people had prayed for forever, for the Messiah, Emmanuel, to come. They had no idea. He couldn't grasp it, could he?
The fear that must have been in them as well, not just a doubt, but fear of what if? What if this baby is born stillbirth? What if this...
Right, true.
This pregnancy does not continue.
All the negative stuff.
I'm too old to rear this child.
Right, yeah.
So those are the kinds of fears that were in his heart, I'm sure, and in her heart.
Right.
You know, her body being as old as it was, how can my body nourish this child to its birth? And yet there is no fear when you realize that, and they had to realize it at some point because, you know, the angel Gabriel came to them and said, I'm Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you
right.
this good news.
Right.
That had to be shocking that an angel appears to you.
Yeah.
As, look, guys, just cool it. Don't be afraid. We've got it under control.
Right.
You are the method for John getting here.
Right.
And you have to be a part of this. And basically, it was like, if you're not a part of this, you know, you're the chosen ones, and if you're not a part of this... because of your faithfulness and your strength and your ability to let go and let God, then we're in deep trouble.
Well, and I think it's very interesting that, you know, Zechariah had an opportunity here to change his attitude and believe, okay, I choose to believe. But he does not, and he instead, he says in verse 18, do you expect me to believe this?
Yep.
I'm an old man and my wife's an old woman. And so I think it's so cool that the angel says, well, okay, that's it. That's your decision. Now, you're not going to talk. You're not going to talk.
He was struck mute
yes,
for a reason.
Until the day of your son's birth. I find this very interesting. Nan, talk to us about this. Why did God take this drastic measure here with Zechariah?
Well, I think so that he couldn't actually verbalize negativity.
Right.
To the people around him.
Why is that important? And why is it important not to speak negatively?
There's power in our words.
Totally.
And when we
death and life is in the power of the tongue, right?
When we speak, it reiterates more into us what we're thinking because
right.
we're hearing what we're speaking.
Right.
There's something, I don't recall exactly what it was, but there's something medically I recall hearing from some, when you speak, okay, instead of, say, just reading something, if you speak it out loud, you're hearing what
it.
You're saying.
Yes, and it's ringing true again
exactly.
within you. It's like confirming it, what you were thinking, yeah.
And you know, and he would be able to have the opportunity to get to speak negative with all of his friends, and some
right.
of his friends are going to speak negative with him. And so you're going to have this whole negativity situation potentially going on. Because he could be able to speak, but if he took away his voice, then that wouldn't happen. Not as easily.
I find this very interesting, Carol, don't you?
I find it very interesting from the fact that he struck him mute, so he could not go out and broadcast it to the world for skepticism to come into play.
That's right.
For people
to say,
point their
yeah.
finger and
mm-hmm.
malign Elizabeth in any way.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
she was in seclusion for 5 months.
5 months, yeah.
Which means out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
You know, and then him not being able to speak
right.
was also, I think, a symbol of God saying, this is too much for you to deal with spiritually.
Yeah.
I need to do a work in you Zachariah before this birth of this child.
And you know that's what God was doing during those months of silence, don't you?
Yes.
I mean, talking just like those 3 days that Paul was struck blind and saw, you know, before he was, and you know, before he was filled with the Holy Spirit. I think God was working on Saul like during those 3 days. I think God was working on Zachariah during these 9 months. I mean, really hammering him, like, what, you know, come on. I'm God, you know.
That's what he has to do to us sometimes, because we're stubborn, we're hard-headed.
No way.
All of those things. And when he begins a work in us, I am sure that when he chooses the people he wants to be pastors, some of them stand there and go, what?
Exactly.
Are you crazy? I don't want to be a pastor.
That was me.
I don't feel qualified.
Right. That was me.
Yeah. And, you know, and you look how long you fought coming back to the ministry.
I did. I fought it quite a bit. Actually, I fought it clear back in 1984 when God called me for the third time into pastoring. And I mean, I was just like, no way. And I gave him all the reasons why it would not work. I had just recently been divorced. I had 3 little kids to raise by myself, on and on and on. And I gave God all these reasons. And I struggled with it, Carol, for several months. And I was in the school of ministry, and they had us read a book called Your Pastor, Your Shepherd by James Lee Beale. And from the first, I remember saying to some friends of mine in my school of ministry class, I said, well, I don't have to read this one because I'm never going to be a pastor. You know, I grew up a pastor's daughter. That's never going to happen to me. I'm not going to be a pastor. From the first page of that book, I cried through the entire book because I knew that was what God was saying to me. And
you know,
I resisted it, you know?
You're reading your biography.
I was. I was like, oh, my gosh, God, really? Is this what you're doing? You
but
know?
Reading your biography.
Yeah.
That somebody placed in your hands and said, you will read. And you opened the pages. And how many of the people you were associated with at that time in that class opened the pages and said, this is my biography?
I don't know that there were very many of them, really.
There probably weren't.
No.
Because not everybody that is called is actually chosen.
Right. As I read all that and realized over the next few months that the calling of God was real, and I quit saying negative stuff about it, I started accepting it. And one snowy morning in my office in the upstairs of my Christian bookstore in Indiana, I knelt down at a little altar that a friend of mine had built for me, and I just said, okay, God, December 2nd, 1984, I said, okay, God, here it is. I'm yours. I don't know how you can use me. I cannot imagine how I can become an effective pastor, minister, leader, all of that, but Lord, I'm yours. And I think that during these 9 months, Carol, God did a work in Zachariah's heart, because he is not the same Zachariah the day that John is born and they circumcise him 8 days later. He is a totally different guy than he was here in the first part of Luke 1.
Yeah, but you see, he couldn't be a naysayer.
Right. He could not. God took that away from him. He couldn't talk.
He couldn't say to his friends, hey, look, guys, I don't know what's happening here. You know, I don't know, and I don't know if I want to be a father at this age. Am I going to be around long enough to rear this child and so forth? He takes, and he did with you. He kept you silent and made a believer out of you. When you knelt down at that little chapel in your office.
It was that way.
God, I surrender all.
And that was 1984, so that's been almost 30 years.
I was going to say, tomorrow will be 29 years ago.
29 years. Oh, tomorrow. Oh, my gosh, Nan.
Yeah.
It is. December 2nd is tomorrow. 29 years.
What a privilege that Carol and I get to be on your radio show right before your 29th anniversary of accepting the call back on your life again.
Accepting it for the first time.
Oh, for the first time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
oh,
this was the first
that.
Time.
Oh,
this is 1984 when I owned a Christian bookstore, just gone through divorce and all of that. This was the first time before we started Cornerstone Christian Ministries. This was that fall, and
wow.
I had been in the school of ministry for a few months, and I think so often we get so full of fear and doubt, Carol and Nan, that we think that God cannot use us the way we were, because, I mean, I gave him all the reasons why God couldn't use me. Divorced, recently divorced, you know, mother of three, had a big, a lot of responsibilities, small town that didn't even agree with. I mean, I had a pastor one day walk in my bookstore and start yelling at me for being divorced. So, I mean, it was that kind of a mentality in that town. Mm. And so I did not feel that God could use me. And I think that during the 9 months that Zachariah could not speak, God did a work in his heart. Nan, talk to me about that, and then we'll go back to Carol on this. And the importance of waiting before God and listening, because that's what happened to me. I mean, I had to really get serious about getting in the Word, seeing what God was saying to me, getting confirmations, listening to the voice of the Lord. And maybe Zachariah went through that during these 9 months.
In those times, we grow a lot.
Boy, don't we?
I mean, we just, it's amazing how much we grow. And there's just times that maybe we should just shut our mouths.
Shut up.
Ourselves. God's not shutting it, but just shut our mouths to certain things we say to people, to God, and just focus in on, God, I know that you answer my prayers. I believe that you answer my prayer. You see the situation. You see what's happening in my life. And just shut our mouths. I mean, it's one thing to go to a pastor or an elder or something for counsel. That's a whole different story. But just to, you know, run all over the place and say all the negativity of what's...
Right.
We got to learn to shut our mouths.
And I think Zachariah is a perfect example of that. Carol, talk to us.
Well, I think quite often I've heard this phrase and I've read this phrase and I truly believe this phrase. A prophet in their own hometown is useless.
Exactly.
You know, you were a prophet in your hometown.
Right.
Even before you realized that you were.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I think for you to be in the situation of marriage where you were, and if it were not a successful marriage, grouped in a relationship that both of you would and could serve God without jealousy between the two of you, or one feeling more called than the other. Sometimes we allow people to take our call away from us.
Right.
By their naysaying that you can't do anything. And that pastor walking in and yelling at you, look what you've done. You're saying, you have blasphemed me, the word of God.
Yeah, yeah. He was very judgmental.
Town, and it happens in large towns. When the people who know you best, they think, because they've grown up with you or they've known you through a period of adulthood, and they make the judgment that you're not worthy, at that time I think Jesus is just bent over laughing, slapping his knee.
Right.
Because he is going, you are worthy. You are the one that I have called. You will serve me out of your faithfulness, your love and devotion, and desire to know my Father more. You will serve me and my Father.
Amen.
And I will take you to the place where you need to be in order to do that. I mean, there have been times in my life that I've had such strong spiritual, emotional feelings, and I've been cut down, shot down, and 101 different things, and most of it by people in churches.
Sure.
People of leadership in churches.
Right. Absolutely,
you know,
happens.
Said to me, who are you? You know, you're an educator. Well, duh, don't you think that maybe God would use me as an educator?
Right.
You know, maybe I don't pick up a living history book anymore. I pick up scripture and say.
Well,
you know,
and
it's a hurtful feeling when
it
you
is.
Know, and we let the human part of us fall into that trap, like, well, so-and-so won't love me, or so-and-so doesn't want me around, or whatever. And I have learned to look at people and say, who are you to tell me how he chooses for me to live?
Well, and I think that's what happened here with Zachariah. Maybe Zachariah had some of those questions of how can I raise a little child at my age or whatever. But during that time of solitude, see, God got through to him. And he reminded him of the promise, and he reminded him that he had heard his prayers. And that just really segues right into this song right here by the group Sanctus Reel. And it is Promises. That's this song, Promises.
It's hard to keep believing in what you can't see, that everything happens for a reason, even the worst life brings. If you're reaching for an answer, then you don't know what to pray. Just open up the pages, let his word be your strength, and hold.
Just hold on to the promises.
Jesus is alive, so hold on to the promises. In Luke 1:20, here's what the angel says to Zechariah. Every word I've spoken to you will come true on time, God's time. And I believe that those words resonated in Zechariah for 9 months when he wasn't able to speak. He could certainly remember that God had promised that every word that was spoken would come true. Nan, you got something you're looking at here.
I was.
You were.
I was. Well, I don't want anybody to think I'm crazy.
Go ahead.
I'm not crazy. I write certain things in the inside of my Bible as
right.
really monumental things that happen or whatever.
Sure.
And I thought, I saw an angel one time.
Okay.
And it was a time, it was during the period when there was so much happening at work. And the Lord showed me just, I don't know if in a vision, I don't know how you say it, but an angel in my office.
Okay.
Like, sat there to protect me.
Wow.
And
they are all around us.
That all the bad things that was happening
right.
would leave.
Right.
And I had such a peace. That's the only time that's ever happened. It's never happened before or since. But that one time I made note in my Bible that it had happened. And I remember what it felt like when I saw that.
So when you have something like that, whether it's an angel visitation or a word from God, a scripture, or just a phrase that God gives you, you know, whatever it is, we are told to hang on to that. And that's right. what Zechariah had to do. And I believe during those 9 months that God was working on his heart because he came out of that experience a strong soldier in the army of the Lord, because he came out filled with the Holy Spirit. Amazing what God did to him.
I was like, can you imagine 9 months of that?
Nine months.
That's a lot of concentrated time of spending time with the Lord, because you can't go around talking
well,
to everybody
the trial,
after work. You know, after your work or whatever you do. What did he do?
Zechariah was a priest.
That was it. Oh.
That was his job. That was his job.
Time.
But you know, the book of Job, which a lot of people talk about, the trial of Job, that all took place in about a 9 month period of time, which, by the way, is very interesting. We think that the book of Job was like written over a period of years and that he really suffered. No, it was about a 9 month trial.
Wow.
So in a way, Job's trial was reminiscent or was a forerunner of Zechariah's 9 months, you know, where he was just going through all kinds of questions and waiting on God for the answers. And yet God's promises, well, that song we just played, God's promises were there all the time. And I believe Zechariah got to a point where he goes, okay, I choose to believe you. She's pregnant. Wow, this is really wild. So God, I'm going to have to repent of my unbelief and my doubt and all of that. Carol, that's what I think happened in Zechariah during those 9 months. I think it came to a place of repentance. So did Job.
He probably had to.
Yeah.
You can't talk like Nan said. You can't go around and sit with your friends and pals and buds and discuss something because you don't speak. And you can't verbally argue with God. You may argue with him in your head, but you're not able to sit and verbalize the word.
Right.
To be detrimental. You know, and don't you find it interesting that 9 months with him and 9 months with Job, you think that's enough time to make a change?
Wow. Well, we know it's 9 months from conception to birth, approximately, of a child.
Well,
look at what changes.
What if we use that as a metaphor for people's lives changing?
Yes, yes.
In 9 months, you will be a changed individual because God can either strike you deaf, dumb, or whatever, blind. And in 9 months, you have a long time to work on yourself through God.
Yeah, to
you
listen.
Know, the first time, you know, that he had to be resentful in a way.
Yeah.
You know, and you know that Job had to be resentful.
At first,
way.
I think so. But look what the change that takes place. And Nan wants to comment on that change.
Well, I get all excited.
Yeah, I can. She's here bouncing in the chair, Carol. She's like, okay. Whoa.
The Lord speaks to me a lot. You know, it's a thing that he and I have.
And I agree.
He talks to me a lot. On December 16th of last year, he spoke to me and he said, 1 year from this time, you will not be where you are now.
Okay.
Now, of course, we're all continuing to either we're growing or we're dying. That's not what it was. Some very specific things in my life are now happening for me as I'm coming up on, it didn't just happen, but over this year period that I can look back and reflect upon. And I'm like, well, you know, a year ago you said things were not going to be the same and some major things have happened in my life this year.
Praise God.
That is like
promises.
God told me the promises. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know for sure what it was about. I had my suspicions on certain things, but I didn't know. I just continued, you know, spending time with the Lord and reading his word and praying and going to church and
being faithful and consistent. And that's what we need to do.
And he's
and look at it.
It's
and
cool.
Look what he's done.
It's cool.
Woo. Okay. Let's go down to verse 39 of Luke 1, because we're not going to talk about Mary today, except for when Mary did receive what the angel Gabriel told her was going to happen, that she was going to become pregnant with the child of the Holy Spirit. She got up and traveled to a town in Judah in the hill country and straight to Zechariah's house. And she greeted her cousin Elizabeth. They were cousins. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaped. She was filled with the Holy Spirit and sang out exuberantly. And this is what happens when you allow yourself to be filled up with God. There is a desire that's deep within you to praise, to worship. And this is what happened when the baby, which was John the Baptist, in Elizabeth's womb, heard Mary's greeting. That the Holy Spirit just came into Elizabeth and she was filled up with God and she began to praise God. And I'll tell you what, let's go on over. I'll talk about that in a minute. Let's go over to 57, verse 57 of Luke 1. When Elizabeth was full term in her pregnancy, she bore a son. Now, wait a minute. What is that? That's promise fulfilled, right? Her neighbors and relatives, seeing that God had overwhelmed her with mercy, celebrated with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child and were calling him Zechariah after his father. But his mother intervened. No, he's to be called John, because somehow during those 9 months, Zechariah had informed Elizabeth that, no, we're not naming him after the father, Zechariah. We're naming him John because God selected the name, which means Jehovah, highly favored of Jehovah. That's what it means. And so they used sign language to ask Zechariah what he wanted to name him. And in verse 63, asking for a tablet, Zechariah wrote, his name is to be John. That took everyone by surprise. Surprise followed surprise. Zechariah's mouth was now open. His tongue was loose. And he was complaining about everything that God had done to him. Is that what it says?
No, not my version.
What's it say, Nan?
It says, and he spake and he praised God.
Well, and he was talking and was praising talking. God. And the neighborhood was on fire, a buzz about this. And they said, clearly, God has his hand in this. This was the miracle fulfilled, the promise fulfilled. Carol, talk to us about this. I mean, God came on the scene. Elizabeth delivered the child, John the Baptist. Oh, wow. Praise God.
Well, it's a fulfillment with the Holy Spirit and the things that were prophesied, that there would be someone who would be able to intercede.
Amen.
To be there with Jesus.
Yes.
As his best friend, pal, and bud.
His forerunner, the person who would point people to Jesus. Yes.
And Zechariah says, praise be the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of the servant David.
Woo!
As
yes.
he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath he swore to our father Abraham to rescue us from the hands of enemies, and it goes on and on and on.
And that started in, let's see, that's Luke 1, starting about verse 67.
Yes.
And it and shows it the change of heart. Doesn't it show the change of heart of Zechariah?
Oh, gosh, yes. I mean, it says here in the very, in Luke 68, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel. Well, you know, he wasn't singing that song 9 months ago.
No, he wasn't.
In fact, he wasn't saying much of anything. Don't you know that when you have to be silent and let something else take place and let people say what they need to say or what they want to say, and you sit silent? The Lord has taught me several times, and Holy Spirit has said these words to me, sit silent.
Right.
And in one particular situation, when I was involved with a problem with the school system, when they, I had been injured, very badly injured, and they refused to acknowledge that it happened there, although the ambulance picked me up there at school, so forth. Long story short, I had a lot to say. Boy, did I have resentment. Boy, did I have built up anger.
Yeah.
Boy, did I want to tell that lawyer where he could disappear.
Right.
You know, from the school board side. And my attorney didn't say to me, Carol, don't say anything, just be quiet. I walked in that room, I hobbled in that room because I had a broken ankle, and I got into the room, actually I was in a wheelchair, and I looked across at those people, and the words, sit silent, came directly to my ear.
Oh, wow.
And I sat silent, which was very unusual because I had such pent-up anger over everything that had occurred. I wanted to have, quote, my day in court.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit said to me, your day in court will be when you sit silent and let them condemn themselves, which they did beautifully.
Isn't that great how God does that? And, yes, and basically, and that's God going to battle for us.
And out of the whole thing, the young attorney that represented the school system came to me before the decision, after the decision was made, and I sat silent. He came to me, and he said, Miss Witcher, I'm going home to Alabama to visit with my grandpa this weekend. And this attorney had just given me horrible time, young fella, horrible times, and maligned me every way he thought he could get past with doing it. So I said, I don't know why you're telling me that, Jed, because it doesn't matter to me what you do or where you go. You know, I wanted to say, just get out of my face, but I didn't.
Right.
And long story short, he goes home. His grandpa's an attorney. He comes back on Monday, and he calls me into his office on Tuesday. I contacted my attorney, said we need to be there at 10 o'clock. And so we were there. And this young attorney, who had maligned me so deeply in so many ways, stood in front of my face with tears running down his face. He said, I've been wrong. I went home, and I talked to my grandpa. And he said, I'm leaving the state of Florida. I have resigned from this law firm. He said, what we have tried to do to you has been horrendous. And I had a major part in it. Would you forgive me?
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, Jed, yes, I will. And he said, may I hug you? And I made an attempt to stand. And he hugged me and broke down in my arms. And
wow.
Said, I am so very sorry for everything that I have
Change
done.
Change of heart.
You know? A change of heart, because something, I think, with me sitting silent,
right,
it showed a different part of me that they were not expecting.
Right.
Had I been argumentative, had I insisted that I speak, only heaven knows how it would have gone. But I obeyed, and I sat silent, and that young man was taught a lesson that he, I'm sure, has never forgotten.
Carol, what you're talking about is letting God, you know, fight these battles. And there are times when he does silence us. And then when the miracle has happened, like what happened here with the birth of John, here's Zechariah giving God all the glory. He's changed. He's been a Nan, this kind of reminds me of you in court a few years back. And God told you to be quiet too, didn't he? That's
yes.
Weird, Carol. This
and
is
I,
weird.
And
that
I,
you
like
brought
Carol,
this up.
Can certainly.
Because you
speak.
Were angry too.
Of course I was. It was all false against me.
Right.
And it was ridiculous.
Right.
And I was very angry about it. But God, it just got all turned around. And then through that, I grew a lot. And I didn't go on the aggressive in the situations. And I listened to the counsel of my pastor and his wife. And good to do that if you have sound counsel. If it's not sound counsel, don't do it. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I saw God move. And I grew a lot in him while waiting on that final judgment to come down in the courts.
Which came in your favor. Just...
came in my favor. Everything was fine.
So,
and you know, at that point, man, I think you begin to realize that God has found favor with you.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's an eye-opening experience.
Yeah.
When you hear the voice that says, sit there, and you sit there, I'm not sure I could have spoken had I really tried to. I think I might have been like Zacharias. My lips would have been closed.
Could be.
And when you sit there and let people do what they did, malign her, malign me, you know, you're attacking a child of God, and it just strengthens you when you come out victorious.
It's called trusting in God when you can't see how it's going to turn out. Go ahead, Nana.
Well, with my situation, it went through assistant state attorney that was dealing with it. By the time we actually went to court, it was on the fourth district attorney who told my attorney, this is the most ridiculous thing I have seen. This should not be in this court. This should not be going on. And it was interesting that the I don't know what the third assistant state attorney felt about it, because I did not deal with him. My attorney did. But it was the night, and they switch around. They do that in the system like that. But it was interesting that the night before the court hearing that day, they changed attorneys.
Oh, my.
I mean, so they changed it to an attorney who really didn't know what was going on. What had not been discovered or discussed or wasn't privy to lots of that, because they just turned it over to him the night before.
Wow.
I believe that was God.
That was God.
That was God just flipping it all around, getting
so
someone else in there.
Are we saying, my dear friends, Carol and Ann, that God has ways of working out the answers to our problems, like with Zachariah and Elizabeth, who didn't have a child, and what they ended up having was a miracle child long after they should have been able to have a child? And not only was this a miracle child, but it became the forerunner to the Messiah. So, I mean, we're talking about a huge miracle here, an impossibility. You can't have a miracle without an impossibility. So we have a life lesson here. Zachariah, who doubted God, but yet God shut his mouth, and he began to really get to know God during those 9 months, even though he was a religious man, a priest. And do we get a better picture of God in these dark moments in our lives where it seems like God has forgotten us? That where is he? Carol, I'm going to let you answer that first and then come back to Nan. Are these moments, like Job went through those 9 months, these 9 months that Zachariah went through, and you and Nan in these court cases that you have just described, are these moments, are they opportunities to see the glory of God at work?
Well, you can't have a testimony without a test.
You're right.
And I could not stand up and say to people, if you hear, if you feel the presence of God through you, through the Holy Spirit, and they tell you, and he tells you to do something, do it. Do it without question. Because you will come out the victor, whatever it is.
Right.
You know, whether it be a court case or whether it be something else, whether it be someone bullying you or whatever. Do what you have been told to do.
So obey God.
And had good counsel.
Right.
I think my demeanor that day was the changing thing for that young man in a lot of ways. And I think if we don't have a test, we cannot. I mean, look at the test that Zachariah underwent for 9 months and,
right,
and being mute. That test of standing silent, that test of not saying anything because he couldn't physically.
Right.
That test of not demeaning angels or God or anything else. He had to be just as he was given to be.
Right.
Silent, unable to speak, unable to defend.
Right.
And then go through that test of faith where his internal self changed.
Woo.
You know, we're internally changed by the presence of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
We allow it. Now, we can throw our hand up as a non-believer and say, hey, I can be agnostic about this all day long. But those of us who know Christ as a personal Savior cannot do that. Everything that comes to us and with us and through us is a test so that we have a living testimony to the living God.
Oh, Carol, you are so right on. Nan wants to comment on that. She's chomping at the bit here.
At the bit. No,
go ahead.
I was just thinking my specific situation. There was a complexity of the situation. I won. I mean, at the end, I won. One thing that I had was I had to do 16 community service hours, And some people would look at that as that's not a win. What really was a win, to know all the details of this, is a win. And it was pretty cool because what I did, I said, well, okay, I got 16-hour community service hours. That's okay. I'm going to tell people about Jesus all along the way. And I would volunteer time at Goodwill, hanging up clothes that people have. And I would tell people I was working, volunteering with, about Jesus and what God's done in my life. And I was like,
wow.
Just to turn it around, like a little caseworker I had to go meet with once a month, I'd sit down there and I'd tell her all about Jesus. And we had a good conversation. And, you know, it's like, you know, next time there was a different lady, not the same one, well, I told her about Jesus. Woo. So it's like through even that, some people might look at, oh, wow, it was a great opportunity to tell them about Jesus. God answered my prayer. He did not necessarily always answer exactly as I thought he should.
Right.
But he answered it was for my betterment.
And he is full of grace.
He is full
and
of
you
grace.
You got grace and Carol got grace. John 1:14 says, Jesus is full of grace and truth. Listen to this song by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. When Grace Walks In.
Standing there with a list of regrets that you can't get past yourself. So bad that you can make the mark, but your dreams are stuck on a shelf. And all you want to do is turn back time and redeem the days you lost. But shame keeps calling out your name, and the chains refuse to fall. And it's not. Fire deep in your soul. Your faith was strong and the call was clear. I'm sure you can make a new road. Like so many, the flame grew dark. Confidence hit the wall. There always seems to be a lot of big questions, and the answers seem so small.
God. God shows up. Grace walks in. Wow. Grace walks in. Whatever's going on in your life right now, dear radio listener, God wants to invade your space like he did Zechariah, like he's done here with Nan and Carol that we've been talking about. Nan, God's just given you another little poem. I can see you here. And then we're going to get back to Carol. Go ahead.
I don't understand all things, but I will believe that you are there. Help me to learn through this. As I kneel before you in prayer.
Yes.
I will believe that grace is here when I don't understand it all. Father, help me to see as I should, and of this I will answer your call.
Praise God. Praise God, because so often we don't understand. Oh, I can't believe the time. Carol, talk to us a minute here and wrap this up for us. Tell us what you'd like to say here.
Well, what I would like to say in these closing moments that I have are, oftentimes when I write a prayer, I will include the word grace.
Right.
And I do that because I've lived in grace.
Right.
And it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
It is without a doubt the most comfortable thing you could ever realize. And to know that you are totally being cared for, watched over, everything you say and do, every place you go is by, in my case, was divine appointment
right,
when I had breast cancer.
Right.
I cannot imagine living and enjoying going through breast cancer. It's an oxymoron.
Right.
But during that period of time, I lived in total grace.
Yes.
It was the most amazing feeling I have ever in my life had. And I was able to use my experience through cancer to help other people and to offer them the promises of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Each week. And to know that there's a place above what we live in now.
Right.
It was as if my feet never touched the ground, I was enveloped in the most warm blanket of forgiving love that I have ever felt. And I long for that feeling again. Sometimes I just ask to be put back in that grace because it is so, it's like a soft womb around you where everything bounces off of you that is bad or negative or whatever, and you feel so useful. And you feel like you are being handled in every situation by the Savior himself. He's watching over you. He's protecting you. He's laughing with you. He's in letting you love and be loved. It is the most experiencing thing that everybody should do.
Carol, that must be what Zachariah went through because he came out here praising God. I mean, really praising God.
When
out
you
of
go
this.
Through that grace, you can't not praise God.
Right.
Is something you have to do. I wish every person were privy to that, and they are. They have to ask for it.
Right.
And in the prayers that we do at Beacon of Hope, because some people just don't understand or they can't even ask for anything themselves. It's other people requesting prayer for them. And to ask God to be grace given to them.
Yes.
It is such a warm thing of the Spirit to be in that moment of time with our Lord Jesus Christ. It is most compelling. You know, those of us that know him and know him well feel like we've been given a mission on this earth, and that's to help other people know who he is and
right.
get to where they need to be, which is in the safety of his arms forever.
Well, and when you're talking about grace walking in and you're talking about living in that grace, John the Baptist, that his very name was favored one, and grace means, you know, all this favor of God, God's yeah. favor all over you. And yeah. so that's what happened with Zachariah. God wasn't mad at Zachariah because he was fearful. God wasn't mad at him because he was negative and was trying to say, oh, how can this be? God said, all right, I'll just let you be quiet for a while so I can minister my grace and my love and my favor to you. That's what happened.
That's what it has to be. Because,
yes.
You know, I mean, he couldn't do much of anything else, really.
Right.
You know, when you can't verbalize things, you begin to start to feel different inside. And that grace of God working internally in your spirit and your soul is so warm and compelling and comfortable.
Amen. Nan, talk to us about that. This is it. This is the sum of this whole thing today.
I think we can set ourselves in a situation where we wait on God. Zechariah spent a lot of time.
9 months, probably.
9 months. That was not self-imposed, but I think we can spend time with God and we'll learn. I mean, I was thinking about 2 years ago at this time, I was on a nine-week medical leave.
Oh, yeah.
9 week medical leave. And in the process of dealing with the medical issues, I was able to spend a lot of time with God,
right?
You know, and met with you,
yeah.
And just was able to just spend a lot of time with God and learned a lot from that. And then I was also thinking of July about 2.5 years ago, where I kind of felt really impressed to do it. And I went on a 30-day time with God of doing certain things or not doing certain things. One of the things that I gave up for 30 days was no TV.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, parts of that was challenging, but I exited, just as he exited out of his 9 month no speaking, a different man.
Right.
I exited out of both of those two times in my life a different woman.
Woo. So you're saying there's value in sequestering ourselves, yes, with God and listening to his voice and saying, teach me, Lord, what do you want to know? What do I need to know right here?
He was powerful.
Oh, it's powerful. It's powerful. Carol, give us a final word here as we come down on the hour.
My final word is taken from the first chapter of Luke, verse 37. For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing that we conceive, nothing that we can imagine, nothing that has ever happened to us couldn't have happened if we had God in our lives.
Carol, that's a perfect sequel or segue into next week, because our series we started today is With God, All Things Are Possible. And so that is a perfect sum of today's show, and it's a perfect segue into next Sunday afternoon. With God, all things are possible. There's nothing that's impossible with God. And so God wasn't alarmed at all that Zachariah had this little attitude problem. He knew he would get that adjusted during that 9 months. Woo.
You can't sequester yourself with God and not come out a different person.
Amen. Oh, amen and amen. I'm excited about this series for December. Tell a friend about the show. It's With God, All Things Are Possible. And we're going to believe God for some huge things. Well, let us pray for you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We're asking you to really minister to these that have listened to this show today, whether live or later on the website. Lord, let them know your great love for them. Let them know that they are such a blessing to you and special to you, that you created them just the way they are. Let them feel your grace and your mercy working in their lives, and let them feel your love that is above and beyond anything we can even imagine, your great, intense love for us. And Lord, let them know that you can get through to them and speak to their hearts in profound ways that will be life-changing. Lord, we believe right now that those that have listened or will listen in the future will come to a deeper knowledge of you and a deeper experience of walking with you on a daily basis. Lord, we thank you for this time that you have made possible today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Woo! So, Carol, it's always a joy to have you on the show. God bless you.
Thank you. I really enjoy it, and it was nice to watch both of you on my little computer screen here today and know that Nan and I are in the same wardrobe department.
Oh, you both have on the same Beacon shirt, huh?
Yeah, same one.
I like your tailor, Carol.
There you go. There you go. Which reminds me, Nan, we got to be ordering our
shirts often, you know, because it always stops traffic, and people say, where's Beacon of Hope? What did they do?
Right. There you go. Praise God. So you can find out more about us. Thank you, Carol. We'll talk to you soon. On our website, which Maxine has redesigned a few months back, www.beaconofhopeministries.com. Go there. You'll find out everything there is to know about us. We're an inclusive ministry, which means everyone is welcome. Everyone is loved. Everyone is accepted just the way they are. And so that's who we are. BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. Prayer requests, prayers at BOHMGlobal.com. Services Sunday at 10:30 and Wednesday at 7. We have a brand new facility we moved into over Labor Day weekend, and it is 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North here in Clearwater. It's basically at the corner of Drew and 19. Easy to find. Well, no, hard to find. But go to our website.
The first time. After that, it's a piece
after
of
that,
cake.
It's a piece of cake. Go to our website, BeaconofHopeMinistries.com, and Maxine has great detailed directions there. Nan, it's always a joy to have you on the show, too.
Oh,
and what a long day, wonderful day with nursing home and our service. And God has been so real and
He's
so
been
present.
So good. He started at the beginning of the day. It was just so anointed all the way carrying through
way
even
through.
Now, you know.
So what a joy. It's always a blessing to be on the air. It's not far to Jesus, dear people. And we are ready to wrap up. This has been Pastor Marcia, Nan, and Carol bringing the word of God to you this day from Beacon of Hope Ministries. God bless you. See you next week on the air, 3 o'clock, Sunday afternoon, live from this microphone. God bless you.
inside. There's no
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.